Okay, shall we go? Ready? Tonight, Be'ezrat Hashem, it's going to be pretty short cheer in comparison to the nice long ones that we've had many times, but definitely not short in content. Okay. Tonight we want to dedicate the shiur in honor of Rachel Leah Chava Bas Shmuel, who for years has been the cornerstone of this particular class. And she sat right over here from the beginning to the end, one of the only people who would have the ability to sit for so many hours. She's been coming to the class from it when it was way back then in Pico. It's very special, so I'm sure she's attending tonight as well, so I'd like this class to be the schus of her, to the schus of her neshama. I also would like it to be the schus of refuah shalema for an uncle of mine who needs a big refuah, Elezer Yehuda Ben Chana Tzivya. All right. So we begin. Let's grab a little. So we begin. This week is a double portion, Parshas Matos and Masai. We're going to learn a shorter discourse in the first parsha, in the parsha of Matos. It says this week that it's talking about the laws of vows. This was the subject of Sunday night's class, of the Sunday class, which is usually the Monday class, but this week was on Sunday. We spoke about vows, and most of the laws about vows are referring to women that make vows, and how those vows could be annulled either by their husband or it can be annulled by their father, depending on age and on marital status. Sometimes it's annulled by both father and husband. So the general idea why the Torah speaks so much about vows as it is applicable to women, that is because even though a vow can be made by a man, and it has all the same laws, it's only that a man's vows cannot be annulled unless he goes to a rabbi to annul them. But in terms of a family member, cannot annul a man's vows. The reason of the annulment of the vows of a neder, as we're going to see, is because the deeper meaning of a vow has to do with neshamis, with souls. And being that souls are all feminine, and when we speak about father and husband, we're talking about Hashem's relationship to us, either as a father or Hashem's relationship to us as a husband. Because we're both married to God and we're also Hashem's daughter. And therefore, how Hashem releases us from our vows. So that's the content of what we're going to be learning tonight. What does it mean that a soul has made a vow? What is the idea behind that? And what is the idea of the annulment of the vow through the father in this maimer? And other maimerim we learned already in the past, he spoke about the annulment of the vows through the husband. But this particular maimer deals with the father annulling the vow. This maimer was said in the very early years of the Alter Rebbe. So it's in the days when he said short maimerim. That's why it's a very short maimer. There is no maimerim explaining it. There's a little tiny bit of it explained in a maimer from the Rishab, but merely there's usually, you have a maimer from the Alter Rebbe, but there are many maimerim based on it. This is one of those that doesn't have, at least not known to us. There might have been many, as we know, many maimerim didn't reach us either because they got burnt in fires and other things. But we don't have a pirish on this maimer. That made it a little tough. But on the other hand, it's a very... it's a fiery. We know that the maimarim of the Alter Rebbe that he said in the earlier years were fiery, meaning they were less enclosed in the mind, in the intellectual side of things. They were like pure revelations of soul. In the later years, as he established Chabad Hasidus, he far more enclosed things in the seichel, in the intellect, which on the one hand makes it far more pnimiistic, we're able to internalize it, but on the other hand, sometimes takes away from the visible fire. Now, these were from the earlier ones. All right, so let's see what he says. V'shamma v'yas nidra. Now, there is just one more thing I do want to say, is that this mimer, it was said in Tavkuf Nun Vav, I don't know which year that corresponds to right now. I hadn't made the calculations. I'm not good at that. But it was said on Parshas Matos. That year was Mevarchim Av, like this year. It was when we're blessing the new month of Av. And it's in the Mamari Admar Azak and Haktarim. There is another book. Over there, it is this very mimer is combined with another short mimer. They're both sort of like part of one mimer. And I'm going to be cross-referencing, actually, some of the wording from that other discourse. Just want to find where it is. Yeah, right over here. On page Tzadik Beis. It's very, very powerful, actually, the way it is described over here. So here we begin. V'shama v'yos nidra, and our father should hear her neder. A father hears his daughter's vows, and he removes them. Lahavin, so he says, inyan diktuke soifrim, to understand the stringencies of the rabbis. He seems to go off right away off the topic of vows. He's going to come back to vows all the way at the end. But he begins with the question, why were the rabbis, the Chachamim, Chazal, so strict and adding so many stringencies to Jewish life? If we want to live the Torah based on just interpretation of what is the Oraisa, I'm not talking about, you know, like the Tzedukim Chas V'Shalom, who just read the Torah Shebiksav and understood it as it is. I'm talking about that. Torah Shebiksav as it is explained by the oral law of Torah Shebaal Peh. However, the sticking only to what is the Oraisa, meaning what is biblical, what the Torah wants, how do we keep this mitzvah, how do we keep that mitzvah? If we were to keep Shabbos just by biblical law and not have any rabbinic guardrails and the like, all the rabbinic enactments, then half of the way we keep Shabbos would not apply. Shabbos would be much, much, much easier to keep, including, for instance, the whole laws of Muktzah. There wouldn't be any concept of Muktzah. Muktzah is a rabbinic and it's from its very beginning, its inception, it's a rabbinic thing. It is asmachta, we hinge it onto a pasuk, but it's really, it's a rabbinic, it's a derabbanan. Same is, we would be eating chicken and cheeseburgers, that would be okay, because chicken and milk is perfectly fine. We would be very, very, very lightened up in the laws of family purity, which over there the sages have acted very, very extreme from what the law is, the essence of the law, to what they've added on. And the same is in so many aspects of Yiddishkeit, where the Chachamim like took a little commandment and a little prohibition and turned it into this major prohibitions and prohibitions and prohibitions. And the question is why? What is that all about? Doesn't that seem to have harmed us, like made it so hard to be Jewish? So he's going to give us the inner soul of that. What is that really all about? So he says, "Lahavin inyan diktukei soifrim," to understand the diktukim of the rabbis. Sha'anu royim, we see kematcha kol ha-Talmud. All of the Talmud, meaning all of the Gemara, all of the Talmud. Molei mahalachos is filled with laws, v'chumris and stringencies, Shechmiru Chazal, that the sages have been very stringent. Vaisifu kama gedarim, and the sages have added many fences. Whenever the sages say you shouldn't do something because this is serving as a fence, that you shouldn't come to do something else. For instance, we don't eat chicken and we don't eat poultry. We don't have any poultry with milk because it looks like meat. Milk and meat, there's no problem with it. It only looks like meat, and someone might, it's possible that we might make the mistake. So that's one of the fences. They made a fence that we shouldn't come to do something, the siyagim, and other types of siyagim or borders. The Torah Shebeksav, in order to shield the written Torah, in order to protect it, that we should chas v'shalom never, ever, ever come to violate a biblical commandment. So why such? It almost seems like the sages were paranoid. There's a paranoia going on. There's a obsessiveness. It seems like a little bit of it seems like overly obsessive. We'll figure it out. We'll be careful. You have to put some stringencies, but it seems like sometimes it feels like too much. And this is what he's talking about. The Indian movement on the as well of understood. Kemosh kasa rezal. And like the sages have said, al pasuk ki toivim daidecha miyayin. On the pasuk where it says your love is better to me than wine. There's a pasuk in Shir HaShir. Amra Knesset Yisrael. So the sages say, what is the deeper meaning of this? Amra Knesset Yisrael. The Jewish people have said to God, Arevim olai divrei soifrim. It is sweeter to me. It is more pleasant to me. Divrei soifrim, the words of the scribes. Yoiser mi'einu shel Torah. The words of the scribes are more pleasant to me, more than the wine of the Torah. What does that mean? That the words of the scribes are referring exactly to this. It's these extra stringencies and halachos that the sages have added on, far more than what is the basics of the observance of the mitzvah. Sages have added, piled on. So that's called divrei sofer. And the Jewish people say it is so pleasant. It's not something that is irritable. It's not something that hurts us. It's not something that bothers us. We're saying it's pleasant. We accept it joyfully, and we accept it happily. And why do we take it? And it gives us pleasure. Why is it so arevim? Why is it so pleasant? And why is it so sweet? We're saying it's sweeter than the wine of Torah. Now, what is the wine of Torah? What is referring to the wine of Torah? Wine represents that which is the hidden, the esoteric part of the Torah. Because the wine is hidden in the grape, and it comes out after you squeeze the grape. Also, the wine brings out the secrets. Nichnas yayin, wine goes in, secret comes out. So then when we say the wine of Torah, we're particularly talking about the mystical, esoteric element of the Torah, which we know is extremely pleasurable. When we learn the Torah just on the outside, it's kind of dry. But when we get a little bit into the esoteric and the chassidus of it, the Kabbalah of it, it's suddenly, wow, there's like so much depth and so much insight and so much light into everything. So that part of the Torah is pleasurable. However, the sages say, or the Jewish people say to God, the stringencies and all those minute details and details of details that you've added on in the Shulchan Aruch with so many of these which seems to be petty little things, they are sweeter to us and more pleasant to us than the esoteric part of the Torah. And that's he explains. Why? We would think that's just the opposite. I mean, it's more enjoyable to come to learn Chassidus than to learn strict halacha, and especially finding out all the things that we can't do, that maybe we thought we could do, and now we can't do this and we can't do that. Pidish yener shel Torah, the wine of Torah, who pnimius at Torah, the wine of Torah is the pnimius of Torah. We're holding on the top of page Pehe. Who pnimius at Torah. It is the pnimius at Torah, v'soy doiseho, and its secrets. That's called the wine. Kamosha amad azal, like the sages say, nichnas yayin yotza soid. When wine goes in, the secrets go out. That's why wine and secrets, same thing. So now we're saying divrei soifrim, the words of the scribes, the words of the sages, Arevim al Knesset Yisrael, is more precious and pleasurable and delightful and pleasant al Knesset Yisrael to the Jewish people, Yoiser Misoidei Satayra, more even than the secrets of the Torah. Why? Ki kol ha-gedorim. So now he's going to redefine all those stringencies. As we're suddenly going to look at it in a whole different light. These things are not going to be irritable and sometimes feeling like they're not leaving us any breathing room. Why do they have to make things so strict and so detail-oriented? Why can't they just allow Judaism to be like maybe it was at the very beginning, when it wasn't so strict and so many stringencies, and maybe allowing, we would think, more for the spiritual side of Judaism to be emphasized. But here we're so halacha-oriented. And he says, because kikol ha-gedorim, because all the fences, v'achumris, and the stringencies, shebedivir rezal, that we find, that is, in the words of the sages, which, as he said earlier, makes up most of the Talmud. Most of the Talmud is, it begins with a biblical idea, with a law in our Torah, and then it sort of builds up all the Rabbanans that are all surrounding that halacha and the like. V'darke musar, and then we also have a lot of words of rebuke. Sheba Agadis, that is in Medrash. In Medrash, you have a lot of ways. He says things that, certain behaviors that are here to refine a human being. Pirkei Avos, and for example, the entire tractate of Pirkei Avos, which are all higher expectations of character refinement, which the sages lay out in front of us. Kulam, all these things, Nimshachem, where are they really drawn from? Mipchinas Avarabba. They're really coming from the greatest and deepest love that God has for us. The Torah, in general, is a Torah of love, because the Torah is called Torah's Chesed. Hashem gave us the Torah because He loved the Jewish people, and He got married to us through the Torah. So the Torah is the ring, the Torah is the connection of love that Hashem has to us. But in love itself, there's many levels. So the biblical laws and the mitzvahs, that's a lesser love. If you really, really want to tap into the infinite, endless love that Hashem has for the Knesset Yisrael, for the Jewish people, He didn't convey it by Matan Torah. The rabbis were the ones who unveiled that, who revealed it, who brought out that deeper love, the higher, higher love, in what? In all the stringencies. Those very, 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 all those strictnesses, they are just channels of love, of the deepest love. Kamashakasav, like it says, Ahafti Eschem Omer Hashem. Hashem says, I love you. And this is where it's coming from. It's coming from the internal, innermost love of Hashem. Kamoy Lamashal, what he's saying, it's really like, Adam, a person, Machmas Ahavasay Al Benoy, because when a person loves his son so much, Medaktik Imo Yoiser, the father is so much more careful, Lahoysev Alav Shmira Ma'ula, to protect him with so much caution. Basically, he's saying this is Jewish mother syndrome. That when a mother is so overly protective for her child, come on, relax. But no, extra, like craziness. And that is because the mother is crazy about her child. She loves her child so much. So sometimes, it's strange, but sometimes the only love that a child gets from their mother is not open, like soft, sweet love. Sometimes parents give their love to their child just in their worrying for them all the time. And by making sure they go only somewhere with like 20 sweaters and this and it's like this extra be careful and reminder for this and for that. So that over obsession showing of how much you love, you really, really love your child. So he says Hashem's over obsessiveness with keeping us clean and keeping us so far away from a sin, in many ways, like by overdoing it, that's just showing like this deep love that Hashem has. He says, "Lahoysav ala shmurim ula b'siyagim, with extra gates u'gedarim and fences, b'chol afshari, and with everything that's possible, bal korchoi. And even if the child doesn't want it, like the mother is imposing it on the child, or the father is imposing it on the child, shehi menukam akol v'kol, because Hashem wants." The parent wants the child to be very, very clean and very safe. V'chein chafitz ma'oid. The father also wants she'yim tzachein, that the son or the child should have charm and should find favor by people. So he's always making sure, you know, the way the child is dressed and the way he's this and tuck your shirt in and do this and do that and just you're dirty and the little every little thing, like overly, in order like their child should be the best. The best in the class, the best in the school, the best in everything. The seichel, and to find seichel b'yasar seis, with added ukamoy l'mashal, and like we find margolios, like we find is with a gem, with a mashahi yakara b'yasar, the more precious the gem is, shomra b'yasar, the more precaution you take in order to guard it. If it's not such expensive jewels, so then you don't guard it that well. But if it's someone has very expensive jewelry, so then they'll protect it with a major safe and whatever else it would be needed in order to protect it. Shmirim ula keli b'toich keli. You put it in one thing and then in another thing in a safe box within another safe box and the like. Kach, and so too is machmas goy de lahavos so yizbarach aleinu. Because Hashem has such great love to us, machmir umedaktik aleinu, Hashem is so machmir, he's so stringent. Umedaktik aleinu, meaning these things themselves won't soil your soul. But because it's possible, chas v'shalom, that a violation of one of the 365 essential biblical prohibitions will cause a soul to become contaminated by klipa, or chas v'shalom get sick, right? And let's say it's flu season, so the parent is very, very careful, like don't catch the flu, don't catch a cold. So Hashem is also very, very careful. Is machmen umedaktik aleinu, bidiktuke soifrim, with all these extra precautions of the sages, shenheima divrei teirasoi, which are really Hashem's Torah, hanim shachos ma'ava rabba. They are coming from this very, very, and very great love. B'seyogim mugedarim, fences, lizchusenu, and this is for our zchus. This is for our merit, letoiv lanu, to do good for us, shenia nekiyem lefanav yizbarach, that we should be clean in front of Hashem. That's all Hashem wants. He wants to keep us clean, very clean. And therefore, we have all these precautions. And now he's going to say something more than that. That what? Not only, say this is the idea, that all the stringencies of the rabbis come from Hashem's intense love. And therefore, they are conveying that which the Torah or the regular mitzvahs don't convey, even the secrets of the Torah. It's in these things comes the deepest love. And that's why he says also, Hashem's here is black, shchoreis ko'orev, they're black like a raven. So he's asking the question, and in some places it describes Hashem's hair, that they're white. Like it says, Visar Reshe, the hair of his head, Ka'amir Nakeh, is like white, clean wool. And over here we have, and other times in Shira Shirim, it says, Kivitzaisov Taltalim, that Hashem has bangs of hair, and they are all, Shchoyreis Ka'orev, they're black like a raven. So he explains, but that's referring to two types of Hamshacha of Torah. The mitzvahs asay, the positive mitzvahs, and all the channels in which Hashem has given us, through which we're able to elevate the world, to elevate physical, material things, every mitzvah. So these are channels from Hashem's chesed. Hashem's chesed has to come down through here, because Hashem is so infinitely, endlessly great, and we're so puny and small and tiny. So for Hashem to allow a physical aspect of this physical world to become attached to him, to that to become unified with Hashem, Hashem has to contract his infinite kindness, his love, into tiny little channels so that they can make its way down into our little world to become a method and a channel to connect ourselves or something of the world back to Hashem. And that's why they're called here. That's why here, because it's here is of chesed. But then there is also all the stringencies and all these very, very harsh things, which he says is black like a raven. The reason like a raven, because a raven is a cruel animal. And many times when you're learning, it almost feels like if you don't have the right perspective, if you don't learn Chassidus, that's why. True, you need to learn. We said earlier, Arevim alei divrei soifrim, the words of the Shulchan Aruch and the scribes and the Dukim, but you also have to have the Chassidus in it so that you get the pnimius of it. It sometimes feels cruel, like leave me alone already, give me a little space to breathe. I'm choking. I can't live like this. It's just too much. It's too much restriction. Sometimes a person feels that way. So he says, yes, it is. Ka'oy rave, it's like cruelty, like a raven. And there's two aspects in the cruelty. Number one, he says, the fact that there are certain things that we say, you can't have that, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do that. That's cruelty to the sparks of holiness. That min haTorah, they would be elevatable. If we would only apply biblical law, so many more things we can elevate and use for Kedusha. Comes the rabbis and they play so many different, more breaks, so many different things that we're not allowed to use because the Chachamim were afraid if we use this, we're going to come to use that. So it comes out that there's a certain, it's a cruelty to the spark which cannot be elevated. It's also a cruelty, he says, to the person, because the person has to be cruel to himself, to his or herself. You have to be cruel in not giving yourself so many pleasures and so many delights and so many experiences which we would be able to have, but now we have to be cruel on ourselves. So he says that's why they're called, Hashem's here, are called shchoros. They're black, ka'orev, like a raven, because a raven is a cruel bird. But he says really what that really, really, really is all about, as he's explaining over here, it's because of Hashem's such intense love for his children that he's so worried and worried and worried and worried that chas v'shalom, we shouldn't catch an infection and we shouldn't get sick. And true, he's over-obsessing, but here's the thing. When we are following those instructions, we're not just not, because you might say, okay, like, you know, sometimes you're like, we all don't listen to our mothers when they're being over precaution, because they're like, come on, stop worrying, and I'm going to go on the ski jet, and I'm going to go on the parasailing, and I'm going to do this and do that, and even though your mother would, God forbid, you know, faint if she would see it. And we're like, okay, you know what, nothing happens, we're fine. Can we do the same thing with Hashem and saying, come on, we know you're an overprotective mother and overprotected father, but leave us in Lirum. You can't. So he says, when we follow these precautions, we're actually connecting to that love. We're reaching for that love, and that love is now brought down onto our soul. Or else, the love remains in Hashem's heart, but it's not revealed to us. We need that love to be revealed. So when a person is following those stringencies in two things. You're learning about them, and then you're applying them in your life. But doing them with great simcha, because with this, you're in the loving embrace of God and Hashem's infinite love. That's the idea. And now he's going to explain, it is for that reason that the sages only instituted these in the latter years of our observance. Meaning, in the last 2,000 years, in compared to the first 1,000 years that Jews had the Torah, in the days of the first Beis HaMikdash, most of these stringencies weren't there. They were enacted in the days of the rabbis, in the days of the Mishnah. That's when a lot of these things were instituted. Shlomo HaMelech, David HaMelech instituted some, and then later more and more and more and more stringencies were piled on. So he's, and the reason, so what's with the first, with the Jews, the first initial early history Jews, the Jews at the beginning of, so what's with them? So he's explaining, those people were in a deep connection to God and an open relationship with Hashem without having to touch this infinite love of Hashem. Because they themselves, their souls were very, very accessible. Their souls were very manifest and very revealed. So when they tried to love, when they prayed and they wanted to make a connection, instantly they made a connection. Their hearts suddenly swelled with love, powerful love. Prayer was extremely intense for the first 1,000 years when people prayed. They really, their neshamas were on fire. He says, but as the souls become more and more and more burnt up by other, when we get by the unholy, by the klipa, the more enmeshed we are in the world, the more the klipa gets to us, and it causes a dampening on the soul. It dries the soul up. Or as he uses over here, is our soul gets burnt with unholy fires, with all the other desires and wants and passions when they're not holy, and we get involved. What we're really doing is we're scorching the soul, burning the soul, and then we don't have the capacity to love God, because we've drained our love and our passion, our fervor into so many other things. So the fire isn't there anymore. So the only way to spark the fire in the soul is if we can feel God's love for us. As we need Hashem to reveal His love to the Jewish people into our neshama, and that can resurrect the soul. It can spark our fire. They in the early generations had their love available. So the rabbis didn't. It's amazing. According to this explanation, the rabbis went and made all those chumras mamish with the intention to channel love, to channel God's love to the Jewish people, because the Jewish people were not, it was for the spirituality of it. In other words, they saw that we're losing our fire. So they had to quickly open us up to God's inner, the recesses of God's heart, Hashem's infinite love, to channel that down. How? By bringing down Hashem's over obsessive precaution to the Jewish people, which is an indication of His infinite love to us. And by connecting us to that love, that's how we experience that Ava Rabba, that great, to ignite our souls that might have become numb and cold. Let's read it inside. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it was enough with biblical commandments. Why? Because our spirit was faithful to God. And our cords of love, of the ropes, the thick cords of love, we're not pulling us, l'tayves gashmiim, to physical material pleasures, because the Jewish soul, people were extremely spiritual, and their love was naturally provoked to God, available to Hashem, and they did not get their loves hooked onto other things. So it was easy to be the love of Hashem, kavua b'leiv kol ish, to be set in the heart of every person, liyos b'hislavus l'avodas Hashem, for a person to be inflamed with his slavus to the service of God, v'toyrasoi, and his Torah, v'gam b'mibliish, and his oirin m'zeh avarabah, and without the necessity of needing to touch the great, great love, which is God's love for us, we didn't need to be touched by that love. We had that love within us automatically. Achdoir, achadoir, generation after generation, kinesmatu halavavois, when our hearts have become diminished, our hearts have shrunk, hashleimois b'avodas Hashem, when the hearts that are complete in service of Hashem became lessened, ba'ava azabirish be'esh, those people who loved God with intense flaming love, has diminished. We don't see them anymore. We don't feel it anymore. V'nechveinu be'esh zara, and we have become burnt be'esh zara with an alien fire. Ba'avas v'taivas gufnias, with other kinds of loves and other kinds of passions. V'kol kach gavru aleinu, and he's talking 250 years ago, second generation from Baal Shem Tov. You know, we're talking at a time when we read about the early Hasidim and the way they davened and the way their fire was. But he's saying even that's like very, very... So the kol kach gavru aleinu, and this it has become so intensified, ad ashaleinu chalavad Hashem, to the point that we're not able to serve God ba'ava, with love. Biltish and esoirin mezeh, if we're going to be ma'orer ava rabba, if we're going to get and touch Ava Rabba, the great love. We have to touch God's great love. That great love should channel down on our neshama. Al yaday, and how do we connect to the Hashem's innermost love? Al yaday diktukei seifrim. This comes through diktukei seifrim. It's not something that we can fathom with our mind. It's not even something we can reach with in prayer. It's something that has to be channeled from. It comes upon us by following the stringencies of the sages in halacha, through these diktukei seifrim v'chumreim, and their stringencies, b'chol prateihem, in all their details, hen b'b'chinas sur mera, both in all their stringencies when it comes to sur mera, turning away from bad, b'chol hachumrish shebigamara, with all the stringencies that there is in the Talmud, u'paiskim, and in the codifiers of Jewish law, v'hem b'b'chinas vasei tov, and also in doing good, b'divrei musar, shebagadis, in all the musar that there is in the Agadis, in the Medrash, umilu the Avos, and in all the words that there is in Pirkei Avos. For example, in which the sages are telling us, ayin toiva, we have to work on having a good eye to see good and not to feel jealous of people. Sheyides chaveda b'toiv, you should always have a good eye, a positive look at someone else. B'toiv ayin, with a good eye. V'ros re'eyu al yachshav b'libo, and a person shouldn't think at all negativity of someone else. So these are all extra things that the sages have given us. V'leiv, v'chein leiv toiv, having a good heart, v'chaver toiv, and a good friend, v'chol, all these recommendations that the sages are giving us in Pirkei Avos, all this is in order to channel down to us this great extra love of that Hashem. And this is a helping, what he's saying is, this is assisting us in our spirituality. This is assisting us in getting our flame of our soul, our flames ignited. I'm just going to read a little bit from the other Maimer, just very beautiful words. He says like this, v'ne'anachnu royim, we see, I'm changing into the Maimer over here, shahagam shem is boinin in beseder atfila, even when a person contemplates in the order of davening, im kozeh loy nis'oider kirish be'yesh, even when we do a contemplation, we don't necessarily feel that our heart comes along with us, that the fire should get ignited, la'achad, to Hashem achad. Ha'inyanu, and the idea is, ki bedoyres rishoynim ha'yanamon es keel rucham, their hearts were faithful. Le'mashchul chav la'avoyses avasam lezarim, and their ropes of love did not get drawn, as the same language he's used over here, to other things. Ha'yabenekel, so it was very easy, la'oyder avar abba, to evoke the great love, bizgalos liboy, that it should come into the revealed part of the heart. Because we all have love to Hashem, but it's in the recesses of the heart, it's hidden. And it was easy for a person to like reveal it, kedish peyesh, like the flames of fire. Aval anachnu, but we, shemishchanu ahava, that we have drawn our love, v'achoyim hativi, and our natural heat, the heat of our body, has become letaiva zarim, has gone to alien pleasures and alien delights. Ashakvar, this is what these words. Ashakvar nisrafa hanefesh. You ever see people say they take drugs and they fry their brain? He's talking about someone frying their soul. When the soul is put into a frying pan and it's fried all day with other desires and other wants, it fries the soul. And the soul is, when something is burnt, it's not sensitive anymore. The nerve endings are b'choy mativi v'i afshalala oyded asavala Hashem. And she cannot evoke anymore her love to Hashem. Machmasha nefesh asuda biyad haklipas, because the soul is bound in the hands of the klipas, in the hands of the shells. Ve'ein chavish mater atzmoy, and a prisoner cannot release himself from bondage. So in this case, the person doesn't have a way to evoke his love. You can meditate and learn and learn. It's just not going. The heart is not going a place. So the advice that Hashem had in order to keep the souls going, Hashem says, I'm going to evoke upon them my great love from the Sovev, the infinite encompassing love that is endless, that you can't touch any other way. It's coming from Hashem's Avakizu. He says, Hashem says, I'm going to reveal such a love, Shaloi Nizgalo B'dayris HaRishayinim, love that was never revealed to the Jewish people in the earlier generations, because they were able to, the romance was there without it, from within the Jewish people. It wasn't needed to have this great Asha Kenegda, and when that love is going to be revealed, Asha Kenegda, B'telem Memela Kol HaKlipas, when that love is revealed, the Klipas, the other sides, are bottle nullified on their own, V'hatayvis, and all other desires, Kaham is doinig mitmeish, they will fall away like wax falling from fire. V'zeu sh'omer, and this is what it means, mayim rabim, the great waters cannot extinguish the heart, the love, as it says, hey ma klipas va'ataivis, these are all the klipas, all the shells and the Taivis, lo yuchlo lechabes, they're not able to extinguish, esahava, the love, shezuhu b'chines ava rabba, now this is this great love. Vezeo ma shekasov, and we're going to get back to it over here, but the words in this maima were very beautiful, so I'm going to bring it back in a minute. And this is the meaning of what it means. Vezeo ma shekasov, ishama avia es nidra. Her father hears her vows. This week's parsha, the woman, the girl takes a vow, and the father hears. What's a vow? A vow means knots. You get knotted. This is the meaning. When the soul gets knotted, it becomes so entrenched in physical and earthy delights and pleasures that it gets knotted up and stuck, like an animal gets stuck in the brush, or like someone's, like you ever get your sweater, a sweater gets stuck in and you can't get it, you have to untangle it, or hair that gets stuck in something. So the soul gets its hair entangled in something, and the neshama can't come out of it. And that's the meaning of the neder. Neder means the vow, the stuck, the soul is snagged into all kinds of things. So what happens now? Vishama avia, so her father, who is the father? The father is that paranoid father, the father in heaven who has such love to their child. In which, where is that love expressed? In this over-obsessive worry that a parent worries for a child. And that's what he's saying over here. Vishama vias nidrava asara, and that's what it means. And the prohibitions that she had prohibited upon her. Asara means also the imprisonments that she had imprisoned her soul in. And therefore she can't connect to her source. Ki e f shaloi leknesses Yisrael lava lepchenes ava. Knesses Yisrael, in the end days of exile, Knesses Yisrael cannot come to love, lepchines ava kedish peish, to feel the fire and passion of their spirituality, of the fire of their soul. Mach masa isurim, because of all these knots, she'asra al nafsha, she has gotten herself stuck. Kiim, and the only way al de sheyishma avinu shebashamayim, when our Father in heaven, that's what Shama avia, her father will hear. Her father means her father in heaven will hear the hefer es nidra, and he will annul her neder. He will snip her knots and being stuck. Ketargimai v'yavato, he will nullify them. Shal yedeis galus avarabo, through the revelation of the fatherly love, which is called avarabo, the great love. Mepchenas soiviv kol almin yizbatlu memela kol hakishurim. So all the kishurim get unbound. This oiris avirabizu. And how do you tap into this great love? Humaisha Omer Azal, this is what the sages say, Al Pasiki Toivim Daidecha Miyayin, that your meaning, Arevim Alai Divrei Seifrim, the words of the scribes, Yoisa Meyena Shal Torah, more than the wine of Torah. Shuhu Apnimius, what's the wine of Torah? As we said earlier, it's a Nechnas Yayin Yotze Soid, the wine goes in, it's the secrets of the Torah. Pirishal Revim leKnesses Yisrael, it is more pleasant to Knesses Yisrael. Divrei Sofer, Shem Kol HaGedorim, all the fences, Vaseyogim, Afilu, Mashem Avur B'Shulchan Aruch, even what is explained in Shulchan Aruch, B'Bar Heter, She'em Ben Remez V'Soid, even when it's things that it says clearly in Shulchan Aruch, that there isn't any indication in biblical, in the Chumash itself, that this should be prohibited, and yet the sages have enacted all these prohibitions. Arevim Alel Yoysem V'Soid Esatayra, this is more pleasant to me than the secrets of the Torah. Ki kol ha-chumris v'asiyogim, because all these chumris, nimshachem ibchinas avaraba, are all taken from this great love. Kamo shekasev, like it says, ahafti eschem omer Hashem. V'aderech mashal kamo ya'odam sheshomer hazav, is an example, like a person who watches gold, yoysem en ha-kesef. Gold you're more precautious on, more worried about than silver. U'lavanim toivois, and precious jewels, Shaimra Mishmira Yaisa, even more than gold, because they're more expensive. Vatam kiladovar shavasa gidoila, something that you have such great ava, shaimra yaisa. You guard it more. Like a father who loves his child so much, afshan islachlich ma'id, even his child gets very dirty. He washes him off. Lenakisoise to clean him. Hagam sha ben tsayik ma'id, the child really doesn't like it. And he's really, really not happy with this, that his father is scrubbing him. And he doesn't want to be scrubbed from his filth. Nevertheless, the father doesn't leave go. Because the father loves the child so much, marchitza, he bathes him. And he cleanses him from his filth. And the same is also machma sha'anachnu nislach lechenu ma'oid. Because we have become so soiled. When we have taken our love out from where it belongs to God, and we've placed it into all the other things that are ungodly, huchrech Hashem yizbarach, it forced Hashem legalis avarava, to reveal great love. Yoyser ma'adayris rishayim. So they did not merit these stringencies. They didn't need it. Not because, see, they didn't need it because they didn't need such exposure of God's love. Yoyser ma'adayris rishayim, more than the first generation, shaloy yitzricha mazlas galas avarava. They didn't need this great avarava. Azu, ashalachena adam aloymid, a person who learns, v'nizhar b'diktuke soifrim, and he's careful with all these extra stringencies, hein b'pchena sur meira, lahachmir b'chol achumris, to take all the stringencies, shab rishayim v'achroinim, that is stated in the rishayim and achroinim, which is the first halachic writings, and then the latter ones, v'hein b'pchena sasei tov, and also those who take good, b'divrei musr, Shabbat God is a pirkei avos, k'may ayin toiv, as he brings over here. Shabbat toiv, v'chein leiv toiv, v'chaver toiv. Ayedeze ya'oyre v'yamshech al atzmoi. You draw upon yourself avaraba b'pchina soiv of kol alman. U'memele yavatlu kol atayvus, as we learned earlier. U'kamayim upon him. Yis'oyre avaraba etzloi. The all external desires will fall away, and the deep love will be evoked by him. Kirish pe'esh, like flames of fire, li kolul be'achad, to be absorbed in achad. Again, same idea, but a little different words. So now the Tzemach Tzedek. Now, the next part is a little note, the parentheses from the Tzemach Tzedek. V'ayim Mashakasa, we're going back into the Maimer here. V'ayim Mashakasa b'divra Amasal Koyse Vorcho is Bnei Yisrael. Look in that Maimer. B'pirish Eich Lo Yes upon him Li Yisrael. V'amedaktik Alatzma Mat Kezayis. It says, the verse says, Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha, that Hashem should raise his face, which means Hashem should look away, he should overlook your sins. So it says that the angels say to Hashem, you're the God that says, Asher lo yikach lo yisef on him. You don't overlook anybody. Hashem doesn't take bribery. So how is it that you're saying clearly that for the Jewish people you will overlook on their sins? So Hashem says, how can I not do it when I told them v'chalta v'savata, you will eat and you will be satiated, and then you have to make a bracha. That means you only bench if you're full. But if you ate a small meal, you don't have to bench. And they are so stringent, they medactic a lot, and they're careful at kezayis. They eat a kezayis and they're already making a long benching. So if they're going beyond the letter of the law in that way, so Hashem says the same. How can I not be nice upon them? How can I not overlook their sins? So what does that mean? So over there in that Maimer, he explains, Sha'al Yedei Sheknesses Yisrael, he explains, Yisa Hashem Panim. What does it mean to overlook? To overlook means to raise the love, to uncover the unconditional love. You see, Hashem sets certain rules in a relationship. And he says, based on so and so, this is how we will, these are the rules of our love. This is the rules of our marriage. This is what I like, this is what I dislike. If based on these expectations, we have a relationship. However, what does it mean, Yis Hashem Panim? We want Hashem to overlook a sin, means that Hashem's love should be unconditional. Now, Hashem loves the Jewish people on two levels. He loves us unconditionally. That's in his essence. But then, in his manner in which he chose to relate to the world, he set up a certain system, rules and regulations. And based on that, and that's the Torah. If you do so and so, you'll be rewarded. If you do so, you're punished. But deeper and hidden beneath it all, if we can say subconsciously by Hashem or superconsciously, higher than the outer external hanhaga, in his deepest heart of hearts, He wants to give us all the good all the time, whether we're deserving it or we're not deserving it. But usually that dimension of the love is not out in the open. It's hidden. Because if that would be in the open, then we would there wouldn't be any observance. So Hashem is not running, he's not interacting from that place. However, it says, when we go beyond the letter of the law and taking on certain stringencies, so that evokes Hashem's endless love. That's what it means, Yisa Hashem Panim. Hashem should pick up the relationship, raise the relationship to his inner heart, and that's called the Pnimius HaKesser, the innermost of the Kesser, where over there the love is boundless and endless. And there's nothing that can cause him, Chas V'Shalom, to be upset at us, no matter what. So we see from here, what touches the Ava Rabba, the great love that he's talking about over here? It's the Chumrah, it's the strict, the Medaktika Alatma, all these Chumras, all these stringencies connect us to the great Ava Rabba. That's what he's bringing as a reference to this. And they are so cautious at Kezias. Nimtza comes out. Shal Yadesha Knesses Yisrael Medaktik in Alatzman. Through this, that Knesses Yisrael is Medaktik on themselves. Lahachmir al Atzman biyoser, to be extra cautious. Memashakasa b'Torah Shebiksav, from that which is written in Torah Shebiksav. Mezeh Nimshach b'chinas Yisa Hashem Panav, from here comes Hashem will raise his face. Which means the great love that is above the whole progressive order that Hashem has set in terms of rules and regulations of the relationship. And what do we say? But it's not stam that Hashem has that love. We say Yisa Hashem Panav Eilecha, and then that great Pnimius Avaraba, that great love, should be drawn Eilecha to you. We're saying it by Birchas Kahanim. The Kahanim are blessing the Jews that Hashem's Ava Rabba from way up there, that is higher than the system and the manner in which he has chosen to set up the relationship with the world. But we're asking for that higher love. That should be drawn down, Eilecha to you, which means we should feel that love. It's not enough that is in Hashem's heart and heart. It should flow onto our neshama to melt our stubborn hearts, to melt our cold hearts, and to awaken that love, to warm our hearts up to Hashem's love. As he says, Eilecha mamish liyos giloy averabezu, that this great love should be felt in the nefesh. Gam ba'odam, it should be felt also in the person. Ikamashakasav gam kein b'divra maschol shreira anivinava. And that mimer where he talks about how all these stringencies is in a sense an aspect of cruelty, like the raven, like we spoke earlier. But yet, where does it bring us to? Vinava, hanal shal yedezet tesala nefesh abahamiz gamkein. What that does is, when we feel that love, we can't help but melt in Hashem's love, and it evokes our love back to Hashem. As he says over there, that it impacts even our animal soul. Not only our neshama gets warmed up, but even our animal soul also gets swept up in that intense love. But how do you draw that love down upon yourself? Is through the being careful in all these stricts, these extra strict stringencies and the rabbinic ordinances that might sometimes feel like it's too much. It's dafka that can bring this great love. Ayin shalom. It says that we know that the great Hasidim, Rabbi Hillel of Parish, for instance, the great Hasidim of Tzemach Tzedek, was an incredible Hasid. He had such chumras, it was like unbelievable. His chumras, how strict he was. And so many things. And when they asked him, like on this intense chumras, he said, it's all these chumras are only, I'm only doing them because maybe Efshir, that by taking upon all these things, a word of chassidus will settle deeper into my soul, which means he understood this. This is what we're learning about: is that it's in order to intensify the relationship. It's not about being from. That's not it. It's not it. I'm not being very, very from. It's about being warm, and a fiery Jew. And this is what enables us connects us to the deepest love. In the end of Parshas Miketz, in the end of Atoneri, he says over there a very beautiful quote in the Torah Or, Avodairus Achrayim. I'm going to read it actually. I just forgot to bring it here. Generations and our generation. In terms of neshamas, let me read it from here. We once learned this mimer. In the days of the prophets, in the days of the shoftim, there were generations that were either completely meritous or completely guilty. Because people who were pure, people that were of merit, those days, the ordinary people were big tzaddikim. Oinavi, they were prophets. Omishai Chayiv, and we find people that were like evil, and they were guilty. They were like really dark. Hayan Rasha Gomer. There was a lot of extremes in those days. Like you have the kings of Israel, you had like Menashe and others that were like real wicked. And then you had tzaddikim, like unbelievable tzaddikim. There weren't so many people in the middle. But in the latter generations, generation after generation, people are not so wicked, as even those that are wicked are generally not, are do a lot of good. And on the other hand, you don't have such pure people like we've had then. The idea is, in the early generations, they were receiving very high souls. From very high places. And because they had such powerful souls, their spirituality was so intense. They were able to dominate over the ra, that's in their soul. And instantly, as soon as they contemplated in the greatness of Hashem, suddenly they trembled in awe in front of Hashem. Right? However, being that Hashem didn't take away Bechira, so a person was able to instigate the evil and to ignore their soul and to push it out and to really to activate the evil. A real wicked person, b'shat nefesh, in a very open way. But in the latter generations, ikfas of the Mashiach, the heels of Mashiach, b'chnes akvayim, which is considered heels, ein koyach b'nishmasam atzmam lishloit aralara. The souls today don't have within their own strength to be able to subdue the ego and the ra. We don't have it. We need a lot of toil. It doesn't work like you do a little meditation and the soul is on fire. It doesn't work that way. You need yigiyas nefesh. You need a lot of soul toil, the yigiyas basar, and literally, it's toiling of the body. And this is the meaning of, and we need, so we need Hashem to illuminate our darkness. Hashem, it says in Pasuk like this, Ki at Hashem Meiri, you're my lamp. That's referring to the soul. The soul is a piece of Hashem. That's the lamp. But that's in the early generations when their soul was so visible. The soul was so accessible. However, the Pasuk says, Ki at Neiri Hashem, you're my soul. V'Hashem Yagia Chashchi. However, when it comes a time in the last generation, when the soul, the Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam, is extinguished, and we don't have that soul light within us. The choshech in the latter generations. David HaMelech said this ba'ad klolus Yisrael about the general Jewish people, and he was able to feel all the Jews to the end of days. And David HaMelech saw the extreme darkness that will be at the end of days. There is darkness in the last generations. Ikvas of the Mashiach, in the heels of Mashiach. She'ein atoneri havaya. Where the neri havaya, the soul, the lamp of havaya is not shining. Kolayma she'ein neri havaya nishmas ha'adam. Mekol makom, nevertheless, v'Hashem. So we're saying v'Hashem yagi achashchi. V'Hashem is referring to the higher Yudkei Vavkei, way beyond the ordinary Yudkei Vavkei from where our neshama comes from. Because it says Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachel V'chana, two Havayas. The inner Havaya, much higher, U'pchenas Havaya al-Yoyne Shalomayla Meshtal Shalos, Yagia Chashchi, that illuminates our darkness, and he explains that's Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah is a higher Ner to illuminate the, in the time of darkness. That's why it's done after night, in time of exile. It's a galus de giyantiv. So the same, this is a Chanukah Maimer. But it's the same idea that we're learning now, it is also conveyed to us through the stringencies. Basically, we need a lot of divine assistance to be able to evoke our love to Hashem. I'm learning back inside over here. This is the idea of Vahashem Yagia Chashki, Ayin Shem. Shul Mamayla Meseder Ishtal. So this is from the way above. Vizel in Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, that Hashem will raise his face, his panemius love, Vahainu how? Al Yadeshem Adaktikan Al Atzmam, through being more careful and stringent. Kumashakasa Berei Mehem, the Pashas Pinchas, Shubchenes Yisaeyu Alav Rasa. He will carry you over the mitzvahs. It says he will carry us on his wings. So Evrasa also comes from the word Aver. Aver means Evarim the Malka, the limbs of the king. The mitzvahs, the biblical mitzvahs, are the limbs of the king. But then there is Alavrasa, that which is above the limbs of the king. And that is these medaktik, and that's the idea of Yisa. Shehu l'mayla mamasha nimshach ha'idei ramach pekud. And it's high, as we're learning over here, that the rabbis, or the decrees, they're deriving from a higher place than the Torah. The inin ramach evan and the malka, they're higher than the 600, than the 248 mitzvahs. V'ayim b'gemara megillah. That's why the Gemara says in Masechtas Megillah, the Gemara asks all the sages who lived very long. What gave you, merited you, that you had long life? What was your secret of longevity? And they all give explanations, not that they kept basic things. They're all saying that they were like very careful in like extra things. This one said, I did this and I did that. And the Gemara gives a whole list of things of what people did. Whenever I walked out of the shul, I never allowed anybody to get up. I walked behind and no one should see me going out. Like extra sensitivities. So you see, because Arichas Yamim comes from Keser. Because Keser is called Erech, Erech Anpin. Ze'er Anpin means Ze'er Anpin. So longevity. So in order to touch the Keser, it requires these extra chumras, as we're saying over here, because it's coming from Hashem's panemius love. Okay. And this is what it means when it says, Vishama Vias Nidra. Her father will hear her neder. What does that mean? Kiheni Avia Isa, the father has annulled the neder. Sha'av Mefer is a neder. The father can annul the neder. Meaning, ki mipchinas avarabba, from this great love, from where all this stringencies come from, whom mefer kitargumai mevatel. His father is mevatel the neder, kol ha'isurim, all the knots, v'hakishurim, and all the bondage, asher knesses Yisrael, where the knesses Yisrael get tied up, hi asura v'kshura. Knesses Yisrael is tied and locked. The ein chavish mataratzma, a prisoner cannot release himself, meaning that we're so far trenched, we're so entrenched in all the gashmistic things, so we can't we free ourselves. The bird can't fly. We need Hashem's love to come down to release us. Pchenas avia, and that's what it means. Her father will redeem her from her vows. The inyan ayisurim. What does it mean that we're locked? What does it mean to be imprisoned? He says what that means is when our soul gets drained, it just doesn't have koach. We don't feel the inner. You try to daven, you just don't have the koach. You just don't have the koach to like. It's like the nesham is weak, doesn't have the strength. It doesn't have the power to wrench itself free from its encasement, which is the material of the physical thing, v'mamasra, from what it is stuck in. Chumri esaguf v'nefesh v'bahamis, the coarseness of the body and the animal soul. K'mon shekasa b'makam acha, b'divra maschol b'chodesh ha'shlishi, as the Alter Rebbe explains in the Maimah b'chodesh ha'shlishi that we learned, b'parshas Yisro, v'sham nizbar, and over there he explains very well that really when we meditate on Hashem's greatness, we should come to a point where our souls are ready to leave the body. It should be so inflamed, such intense love. As the Navi wonders, he says, "Ani Hashem lo yishanisi." God says, "I have not changed." When you meditate on the idea that I am the only one and there's nothing besides me, and all the massive worlds don't occupy any space at all, time and space is nothing, And you meditate on that, v'atem b'nei Yaakov, and you b'nei Yaakov, v'loi kilisem, you're not expiring with love? You should be going crazy. How is that not? The Navi is wondering, how come? And the answer is, because our souls have become, as he learned earlier, we're burnt out. Literally burnt out. So over there he explains that the Torah gives nuchayas into the neshama. Sha'yidei ha-Torah nimshach koyach v'oiz le-nefesh. That the neshama, the Torah gives strength to the fuel, to the nefesh, levatal kishurim elu, to nullify these kishurim. U'bemakim acher, in another maimer, Nisbar, he explains that these knots that we're knotted to and tied, that's called when you shecht an animal to make sure that an animal is kosher for fit for eating, they check the lung. And the lung sometimes can have a sircha. I don't know how how do they translate the word, what? A little scab. It's a sircha that indicate that there was maybe once a little hole or something and it went on top. Today's days when we say galat kosher, when we say what's the difference between galat and non-galat, galat means that they checked the lung and there wasn't any sircha, because there could be, there's certain sirchas that are kosher, there's certain, what? Smooth, yeah. That the galat means smooth, that it doesn't have any of these scabs. Even though there are certain scabs that there are kosher, certain not, but we don't want to get into it, and therefore we say if it's not glat, if it's not smooth, then it's not. So he's saying like this: when an neshama also can have on its lung, it can have scabs, it can have something that punctures the lung. Because what is the lung supposed to do? The lung blows on the heart and keeps the heart, the lung is the oxygen. And in some ways, it enables. It transmits its to the heart. And what is the heart? The pnimi is what's the heart. The heart is the fire of the nefesh. And you need the lung, the oxygen, to blow on it, to fan the flames of the soul. Having a sircha, having a lung that's not glat, means that the power of inflaming the heart is not working. So then what happens? It's called ikshudim eila nikra sircha. It's called the sircha benefesh. Bereya mehemna. That's how the Zohar calls it. Sha'anefesh mistaveches behem. The nefesh gets caught in these things. Val yedei ze eina yachayla lalois. The nefesh is not able to go up. B'divra maschul b'pidish ha-pasek mikael kamoicha. In that maimer, mikael kamoicha, he has a whole long arichus of what's called the sircha. When the neshama cannot, is not, and basically he says, very beautiful, I'm going to read it. Because it's such a short maimer, we're going to be done in 15 minutes. I can't allow that to happen. So I'm going to read a little bit from over here from that mimer, it's a Rosh Hashanah mimer, Mikael Kamoicha. So he says over there, he mentions that whole idea that I said earlier, that the nefesh really, by meditating Hashem's oneness, the neshama should go, should explode with love. And he says the reason is, because we're the children of Yaakov, meaning the latter generation's neshama is from the bottom of the barrel. It comes down to the ikvayim. In the lowest levels of the world of Asiya. Because the world of Asiya also, see, the way it works with Birra Olam is that in the beginning we refine the higher parts of the world. And the more, that's why we Jews were around Eretz Yisrael. And then as we get farther and farther and farther away, that means that once we purify the higher parts, we go lower and lower and lower. Now we're mamash at the dregs of Olam Asiya, Atachna Shein Tamach Mamatame, right before Mashiach comes, we're dealing with the more. So we can understand what that does, what kind of injury it does to the nefesh. It says, "Ubnei Yaakov hem amakablim mebchinas akvayim, sha'anefesh nilkach mishram, alafikach, and therefore ein anefesh mispa'elas." The nefesh is not mispoil midvarim dakim, from edelkeit. From that's why you think about it. Think about just the idea of how many people in the frum world, chlal, have a feeling for something edel and refined for spirituality. Mine Yisrael should have 600 people here every Thursday night. I'm talking, I'm being serious. Either getting a spoil from Dvarim Dakim, from things that are edel and ruchniyim and spiritual. The Eina Betela Kol Kachbo, and in Seif Baruch Hu, the Nefesh is not, it doesn't, so many people, it doesn't speak to it, it doesn't, it's a gate nish, it doesn't, Shalamayla Mishtalshulis. And the things that are higher than Mishtalshulis, She'eina Me'ela, Ela Berichuk Makim, the Lakus is only shining from the distance. It's a makif digix. There's no. It's not entering into the innermost of the heart. That the inner of the soul should be laden with love. That the neshama should go out with love for Hashem. Even though there's no problem in the essence of the soul, everybody has the soul with full power. Even a nefesh that comes from the very lowest levels, still a godly soul with all the power to go ablaze. The nefesh once was battled to Hashem, mamish kener b'fnei avuka, like a little flame inside a big inferno. On the mitzad eslapshusa b'nefesh abahamis. But because the soul came into a nefesh abahamis, so then it depends. Souls that are very high, they can stand it. They can withstand being enclosed in a nefesh of Bahamas, and it doesn't block on them so much. But souls, asher madregas atachtoinah, come from the lower levels, harehu mulubeshes ma'oid, is very enclosed, umushreshes b'teva ha-nefesh of Bahamas, and it gets very much rooted. The soul gets rooted in the nature of the animal soul, and becomes completely obsessed with the needs of the body, and it's very difficult for it to yank itself out of the physical entrenchment, because it's very coarse and thick. Vegasus ruach. He says he translates. What does it mean? Gasus ruach. The einisha haruchnius who bepchinas gasus. That even the spirituality is coarse. It's a selfish kind of spirituality. It's va'uv avius and dense. Ulazois nimsheches achadvarim gasim va'ovim. So it's drawn after only chunky things. The enem espaelus, it doesn't get excited mitvarim dakim for more refined veruchniyim and spiritual things. Ki gasis v'chumri yisaguf, because the coarseness of the body hem ha'mabishem es ha'nefesh, they enclose the soul. From head to foot, especially, he says, if a person has already sinned, he's experienced sin, so this has gotten, this has touched his nefesh. He says, someone who initially has been very living a very physical life, it becomes very hard to stop. Because the person is melubish very much in the gasus and the chumnis aguf and evshe bahamas and albishemois. V'slapshezu nikra b'reya mehemna. And when someone has a condition like this, it's called in Zohar, it's called b'shem sirchis hareya. This is called not having a glat lung, where the lung has a sircha, it has a scabs. Sh'areya nesreches edvuka. Because what happens is, because of that, the reya gets stuck to the other parts. U'mishreshes et she'ene yachoyle lohanef ala lev. It's not able to blow on the heart. It doesn't have the ability to go up. To raise her wings, to raise itself up towards the king. And that's why it's so rooted in the needs of the body. And the person only feels himself. In his own will. And he doesn't feel that there's an infinite will. There's a burning desire of the Eibishter to have a dira b'tachtayinim, and the Eibishter gave us an ability to do so. And the person is completely oblivious to it. He only feels that I want this, and I need this, and I this, and I that. Completely so consumed with self. And he says, afim levava yavina emes. And here's the frightening part. He says, even when a person understands in his heart the truth, sha'oilam shutachas asman v'amakim, that the whole world that's under time and space, hu ka'ayin v'efes, is literally nothing. And nullified to the infinite one, that is above the yishtalshalus, Hashem that is not within time and space at all. So time and space is all nullified, it's all nothing. I said, I can't. I don't have koyach to overcome my taiva, my desire. This is what he says, and this is l'shaynus like this. You'll find a lot in the previous Rebbe's memoirim, but not so much in the Alter Rebbe's memoirim. That's why. So va'omer, and he says, ma'esa. What can I say? Shekach mitzarti. This is the way I was created. What can I do? This is who I am. We all give that excuse. What can I do? I can't. This is just who I am. The eitzah yutzel lezeh b'zayir pasha shalach. So the eitzah to give to that is a odel leisalik beinohid in the nishmasa. If a log that a log that doesn't go on fire, you try to make a fire and with wood, and if the pieces of wood, the logs are not going on fire, it's because they're too dense. So you got to splinter it, and when you splinter it, it catches fire. So the Zohar says a body that the light of the neshama is not catching on, so it needs a little squashing. Mevachanle gufa de salik bein ahoyde de neshamasa mevachanle dahayne lahashpela satzmoi. He says what kind of mevachanle? Mevachanle means to think about this itself. Mezeatzmoi, from this very idea. Like, look at me. Look what's happened. I can't even get my heart into it. You should really, really feel bad about this. I can't get out of my body for a few minutes. And this is what he should take into his heart. Even the greatest sinner of the Jewish people, those who throw who completely remove the yoke of heaven, they also know the truth, and they also say, I can't. That's what a person says. The worst says, what? Who does all kinds of sins just to satiate his lusts. Hagam shiyadeya shein be'mamish. He also knows that it doesn't have any, doesn't satisfy. He's a yid, he's a Jew. He knows what's real. Alpha became lo yatzalat nafshay melelech bedrachem elu. He doesn't save himself from going these ways. Fisha einay roitzel lizbol shiflis v'dachkus. Because he doesn't want to have a hard time. There's a certain hardship with not giving in to all of one's heart's desires. He convinces himself, everything is going to be okay with me. I'll do whatever my heart desires. It's my nature that has caused it to me. My nature. I can't. This is not an argument. That's why you were created. You were created with a nature, with the intention. You have to change it. And break that taiva. And to live with some pain. Neged kachshei b'Hashem, instead of chas v'shalom denying Hashem, kach yosem al malibay. So a person should take it to his heart. Lish b'tayves agul v'chumri yusha shalom yem anayim ha'akav gili oirin tzoif v'kedushan se libolo v'likot v'im eina m'shabet tavosay. And a person is not doing it. V'roitze b'tivay, and one wants to hold on to his nature. K'doldosay, like he's born. Shakashalay liparit m'tivay. It's difficult to overcome one's nature. Harei tanosay, then his taina is taina's poishe yisrael mamish. So this is like a taina of the worst of the sinners. So it says, what? So when a person meditates on this, that itself will break the klipa and allow the light of the neshama to come back. So he says, when one will contemplate this, how bad it has reached one's the ras, the wicked, the loneliness of one's thickness. Yevatish asatzmoi v'yashpul nashri ka'ofer, will break himself. Vagam. He says, and even though you're working on breaking your heart, it's not a broken, you're not naturally broken. He says, if you're really broken, then you should feel broken automatically. So someone who's going through a lot of tzaris is a broken heart, he cries without having to work too hard on crying. So here you're working and you're contemplating until you break. So it's almost like you feel that it's not real. It's not a real. So he says, that's what David HaMelech davened. And he said, Leiv nishbar v'nitke. Alekim lo yisif. Why v'nitke? V'nitke means broken by working on breaking it. Daka means, daka shval ruach means someone that has a broken heart, that is just so broken that he cries automatically. But leiv nishbar v'nitke means there's work on breaking it. And the chiddush is alekim lo yisif zeh. Because he's asking a question, why would alekim lo yisif zeh? Of course Hashem wouldn't take. He says, no, because you might argue, it's not real, real, real be'emes lamita. He says, it's good enough. Good enough. It's good enough. If you need it, that's good enough. All right, back to the Maimer over here. So he's saying, that's the situation when the person has his reya, he got sirchas areya. Behind you. V'yash loymar, oh, so he says, and now we'll also understand why the first thing we do Yom Kippur, based on all of this, is kol nidre. Sha'afaris nedarim b'yom ha-kippurim. What is the idea? Okay, he made promises, he made vow. Why? In the most serious moments in the year, that's the, okay, we'll take care of it another time. Maybe we do Ataris nedarim before Rosh Hashanah, but right when you walk into Shul Yom Kippur, you start with Ma'ariv or something, right? And you start with kol nidre, annulling vows. So now we understand. The vows that we're talking about is not something that you said, I promised this or I promised that. It's coming, Yom Kippur, and the neshama has to go and rise and stand right in front of Hashem. The problem is you can't get your heart into it because the heart has become so entrenched with Gashmi, so that's what it means, a neder. A neder means a sara asher asar al nafsha, that the soul got knotted. It got a bunch of knots, which it's tied down into Gashmi is. So kol nidre is to release all those knots that you do Yom Kippur right at the beginning, to release the knots of the neshama. The soul should not be knotted down to anything, so it should be free, and it can rise itself up. Shafaris nedarim b'yom kippur ha'ina al yedei ha'tshuva through tshuva nimshach b'chinas shafaris ubitl ha'kishurim. The nullification of all these knots, v'giluy aver rabba b'nafshot, and the revelation of this great love in the person's neshama. And that's what he said, v'shama avia es nidra. The father, the aver rabba, is what removes the knots. All right, this is his pidush in the Maimer till now. That the neder is the knots, which means getting deeply makusher binyana yo'ilam in worldly matters. The nullification of the knots is through touching our soul with the Eibishter's Avarabah, connecting to the Avarabah. Through what? Through all the chumris of Divrei Sefer. Because their chumris come from the Avarabah, like we learned earlier. Oid yesh loimar, and now he takes it differently. The mimer like makes a sharp turn. That the inyan of Afaris Nedarim is different. He's learning the neder is not the, a person being knotted to Gashmias, but rather neder more like the regular pirush of neder. Neder means a vow in which you're separating from Gashmias. You're refraining from partaking in something physical. And the reason for that is because you feel you can't deal with it. You can't deal with it. Because you feel that you don't have the koyach to use it l'shem shemayim. I'm going to eat, you know, to eat a hard crust of bread, I can do that l'shem shemayim. To eat sushi l'shem shemayim, it's a little harder. There's more of a so therefore someone says, you know what, I don't want to get dragged down into the klipa. So that's why I'm going to refrain from extra delights. Because I can't transform it. So most I can do is to push it away. So he says, well, but he's going to explain now why her father is mater the neder, not the mother. Shama ima as nidar. She says, because in order for a person to be able to have the ability to be able to take darkness and transform it to light, not just subdue darkness, not to push it away, you need to be connected to the koyach of father, not to the koyach of mother. Mother is bina, meaning if our connection to Hashem is only intellectual, only bina dig, then there is a certain limitation. And then even though we can muster up a strong dveikus and a strong connection to the Eibishter, but it enough power to be able to subdue the darkness, to be kaskafia, to subdue the ra. But in order to be mahapach the ra latoiv, which means annulling the vows, allowing yourself, yes, to have a connection to those dvarim gashmiyim, so that you can elevate them. For that, however, you need the koyach of father, which is the koyach of the bittul tashem that's higher than seichel. That's what chachma is. Chachma is koach ma. He's explaining it over here. Va'oid yesh loyim, very bekitzer. Sha'av meifer v'u al-derech ma'asha kaseh b'zoyer parshas emor, based on what the Zohar says in parshas emor. Gaba b'zmane denotl mebe'i abba, when she takes from her father's side, v'loy b'zmane denotl mebe'i ema. The Zohar over there is talking that when is there a zivug, when is there a union between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He says the power for yichud of Zayin Malchus, of Knesset Yisrael and the Shechinah is dafka when there is a hashpa from Chachma. When there's hashpa from Bina, then there's no yichud. That's what the Zohar is talking about over there. Ki mebchines ha-bina v'hadas, from the Bina and the Das, nimshach li yiseskaf yisitra'ach. Bina gives us the koyach to subdue that. Without Bina, then we have no clue. Without meaning without the inspiration coming from understanding, learning, so that, and the person doesn't have any koach. But then when you learn, and you have the bina gives us the ability to understand what's right and wrong and to push away what's wrong. V'zeu inyan ha-nidarim, this is when you do, from the bina comes the nidarim, siyag l'precious, which helps a person come to abstinence, meaning not to be so magushim, not to be so entrenched in gashmis. Aval yisus hapcha chashaycha mamish l'nohira, for a person to be able to deal with the gashmis and use it for good, instead of just abstaining, I can't deal with it. Like we spoke Sunday night, that was the content of our Sunday share this week, was the difference of making a neder and abstaining, and then mevatel the neder. Hafaras nedarim is the next stage. It's a person has now matured and been elevated in his ruchni yistiga level that he's able, that he doesn't need the nedarim anymore. And there he explains in the Maimon that nedarim, he says, is only for a neshama before it has deep union with Hashem. Before you had real spirituality in you. As long as you're a neshama, and he says neshama, he says, nedarim, why is the Torah making nedarim only in the laws of about women, not about men, even though the halacha is applied to men. We mentioned this in the beginning. He says, because woman represents the neshama when the neshama is still in its amateur, in its younger state. When the neshama gets older, it gets married to Hashem, so then she gets masculine powers. And what's the masculine? What does the Gemara say? What's the difference between the man and the woman? The woman is not her, it's not her derech to conquer. Ain isha darker lichbosh. Her power is to nurture, to cultivate. The man's nature is aggressiveness, is to conquer. So in order to conquer the world and to transform things, doesn't mean to conquer something, to take something. So it's like this. If the neshama gets married to Hashem, which means it's already through Torah and Limud, you take all that spirituality into the neshama, it gives the neshama shayachas to be able to do that. Or else, if the neshama is pure feminine and she doesn't have that masculine power in her, she can't be a woman warrior, a warrior. But later she does become a woman warrior if she gets that power from her husband. That's what he explains in the other Maimer. He's going to touch upon it over here. And that's the idea of Imhoya. That's why he also says that Mesechtas Nedarim is in Seder Nashim. Why is it in Seder? Because men, he says, Gemara, Mesechtas, there's a section in Shast called Seder Nashim, which is all about marriage and women. He says, why is Nedarim doing over there? Because a lot of Nedarim are applicable to women. But basically, most of the Mesechtas Nedarim deals with which, and the answer is because it's only for one, the female soul, meaning the one that's not aggressive, then has to take Nedarim. But the male soul has the ability, or the female soul, once it has received that power, is the ability to deal with the Gashmias, doesn't have to abstain from it. So v'zeu ina nedarim siyag l'prishis. Aval yisus hapcha chashucha mamish l'nohira. Yefshalias mepchinas. And it also is connected to where, if you're receiving the energy from bina or from chachma, and the same idea, chachma is masculine energy, bina is feminine energy. Mepchinas bina, so bina shemenei dinin misarin. Bina comes dinin, and that's what nedarim are. Nedarim are dinim, judgments. You're judging yourself and you're keeping something back. Elo mepchinas chachmi lo. Only from Chachma, v'achachma tichya, Chachma brings life, who are bittel shalamayla ma'asaga v'das. It's the bittel that's higher than understanding and higher than das. Means in avodah, it means that a person has the mochen of Chachma, not only the mochen of bina. And the mochen of Chachma means, like we learned many times, is the bittel that is connecting to what's beyond seichel, as opposed to limiting everything to seichel, which is what bina is. Like we learned in today's ayom yom, we learned that in learning, when you learn, you're connecting to the haskalah, to the farshtan, to what is. In davening, you're connecting to what's beyond seichel, to what's beyond what your mind can comprehend, to touch the. It's the same idea, that's the chachma energy. That's why the father can annul the neder, and because the father can turn the darkness into light. And from this very same bechina of the father is nimshach v'imhoya siya le'ish haniska l'mayla. That's what he makes reference to what we mentioned earlier, that when she marries her husband, ava'ayim b'zoyer sham. Again, it's the same idea of that masculine energy. Ach pidish v'shama v'yas nidra. But here's the idea. A person can't lechatchila say, you know what, I am going to be mahapach everything. You're not mahapach nothing. The thing has a total dominion over the person. The first avoda is to make nedarim. The first avoda is when a person is stolen at the beginning of a service, you have to take upon yourself nedarim. Because if you engage in all gashmias, then you're not maila any gashmias. Gashmias is only schlepping the person down. It's after the neshama made a neder, which means you begin the avoda first of lifting yourself up from the gashmias by abstaining from it. Then v'shama via asnidra, then the Eibishter helps out that you can move into the next level. From the yeskafia, you can come to the yeshapcha. You can come to the transformation. So that's what he's saying. V'anishayidei yeskafia betchila. You first need that. Shezeho inyana nedarim, which is the idea of nedarim. Is nimshach achakach gilui p'chenes avia liyeshapcha chashuchel inahura. Then you can introduce the next level of the yeshapcha chashuchel inahura. V'ayin oid m'p'chenes avia b'paradis shar chamishi perigimu. This is also what it says. Vaydaber Moshe Rosh Hashanah. At least Moshe is Chachma. Leimar Zeha Davar. Shal Yedei Leimar Zeha Davar Shemepchinas Moshe. Through the Leimar of Zeha Davar that comes from Moshe, Al Yedei Zeh Yuchal Lahater Neder. This can be matter the Neder. Gam Rosh Hamatos Upchinas Reusa Deliba Averabe Kamavur Lamaila. I didn't look this up. Rosh Hamatos is also representing the great love, as we explained earlier, which that's Mavar. Which removes the nether. He brings over here Ayin Haisafis. So in the Haisafis, he had an interesting ending to this, if I remember. A little addition. What is the addition here? Which is an interesting concept. There's two types of fields. Yidden are called Eretz Chefetz. We're Hashem's Kerem. We're called a vineyard. There are two types of fields. There is what's called a Beis HaShlochin. Beis HaShlochin means a field that needs, it's an irrigation field, which means you have to irrigate it with extra water. And then the other field is called, what does the Chazal use when they refer to a field that doesn't need, it's getting all its water from above. It doesn't need extra irrigation. Mashkin beis hashlochin. I know that's the lashon. No. Quarter is a measure, but I forgot the lashon of what it's called. A field. Stay alavan. Stay. No, but the stay alavan means a field, a tree field. But I'm not sure if stay alavan also encompasses. For some reason, it's Lichtman and Kopp, that stay alavan refers to a field that does not need any extra watering. It gets watered on its own. So he explains, what is that? So it depends like this. It's called Beis HaShlochin. Why is it called Beis HaShlochin? Because Knesset Yisrael is called Eretz. And during the time of Galus, we are called Meshulach. Beis HaShlochin is they get sent away. So in those cases, during the time of Galus, we need extra Hashkah. We need extra water. That's why the Chachamim had to come and make all their Gezeiros dafka in the time of Galus. Because that's the extra godliness that they're channeling down in our neshamas, so that we can produce our yield, our fruits. Because without that, I mean, just on Daraisis itself, we would not be. The Torah is called rain. Yarav kamatar likhi. The Torah itself is called rain. That's rainwater. The Chachamim had to add extra watering in order to keep Knesset Yisrael producing during the time of Gullus. And that's the old inyanim of the Yisuri Rabbanan, going back to what we learned earlier in the Maimer, which is that extra ava that moistures out, wetens our soul, keeps us moist, keeps us healthy in Gullus. All right. Everyone have a good nacht. With all the schlepping, it's still short.